Joining me inside the barn at this time on the Colorado Ag News Network and Farmcast Radio is Colorado State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg. We'll be discussing several topics related to agriculture on the state and national levels. But first off, at the time of this interview, bipartisan congressional bargainers completed a 1,159-page bill to fund the government and avoid yet another government shutdown. According to summaries of the bill, it includes $1.375 billion for 55 miles of border fencing along the southern border and Rio Grande Valley of Texas, just a fraction of the more than $5 billion that President Trump had requested for the border wall. Of course, the bill will still need to be approved by both the Republican-led Senate and Democratic-majority House of Representatives, with both votes expected to happen later today, Thursday, February 14th, and then signed by President Trump to avert yet another government shutdown. Jerry, they wait to the last minute once again.
It creates an interesting dilemma again. The president has said he's not happy with the agreement, but we'll see if he actually signs it. It gets him a little closer to where he wants to be, I guess, but just doesn't get him all the way. Sometimes in compromise, both sides have to give.
And he may be looking at the national security issue and do an executive order to take care of what he wants, which is the border wall funding. And you know what? Another thing we've got to worry about in agriculture, U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. Congress says they want some more time to take a look at it. They still got to get that thing ratified. That could be in jeopardy too, right?
It very well could be. And the truth is, I don't know what else Congress needs to look at it. Congress is one of those institutions that if they don't want to do something, they say they need to look at it more. And if they do want to do something, they pass it overnight without reading a 1,000-page bill. So I don't know what Congress issue is here. And I can tell you that for agriculture, that trade is vitally important. We've had a great relationship with our neighbors, and for Colorado agriculture especially, we have to be able to trade outside the country.
Now, besides the USMCA, we've also got the United States-China trade war, and time is running out on that agreement. In fact, the president said he would extend it a little bit past March 1st if there was an agreement being reached and settled upon. But you know what? That's got to get taken care of.
And it's just not Mexico and Canada, as you said. China, the Asian Rim down there, is important to agriculture in Colorado, especially the beef industry, an emerging industry. And interestingly enough, China already gets our beef, but it goes through Taiwan or Japan, some other country first. And we should be able to just trade directly with China. They need to get these things sorted out, get these trade agreements fixed so it doesn't hurt Colorado agriculture. Colorado agriculture's prices, commodity prices, those type of things will continue to suffer until we get this fixed.
If an agreement's not reached by that March 1st deadline or whatever the president decides upon as far as a date, $200 billion more in tariffs will be implemented against China and their imports to the United States. By the way, the USDA's trade aid payment sign-up, the MFP payment sign-up, ended on February 14th. My guest once again is Colorado State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg. Any thoughts about what took place regarding the name change in the Colorado House of Representatives regarding the Rural Affairs and Agriculture Committee? I know you were actually on a trip to Columbia with the CALP program when that all went down.
Indeed, and actually I have to applaud the speaker for adding agriculture back into the name of the House Rural Affairs and Agriculture Committee. Agriculture is still the number two industry in the state, and sometimes it's number one between oil and gas and agriculture. Those rural affairs, those things that happen in rural Colorado drive the entire economy of the state of Colorado. And we need to make sure that the committees that hear those bills or references are named appropriately.
And I know that's on the House side of our state legislature. You did serve in the House. Over on the Senate side, where you now currently serve, the new Colorado Agriculture Commissioner was named and appointed by Governor Jared Polis, and it got unanimous approval by the Senate Ag Committee, which you sat on, and the vote on the floor was what, Jerry?
I believe the vote was 35-0. I don't believe there were any no votes on confirmation for the Commissioner Ag. Interestingly enough, Kate is a young person who has a huge interest in agriculture may not be as qualified as we had hoped, but quite honestly, it's one of those scenarios in which the governor appoints the commissioner, and we have to deal with those governor appointments. And so when a governor appointed Kate, there were a number of concerns, but I have been pleased at her attempt to have conversations with the ag groups to try and be receptive to the needs of agriculture. This is one of those things that it appears she's willing to learn, but only time will tell how this plays out.
Now, I know there's a national search underway right now for a deputy ag commissioner, which begs the question, why a national search for the deputy ag commissioner when there wasn't one for the commissioner?
Well, interesting. There is actually... that's a common practice, is to put that out. A national search may be just a term used where they put it out on the internet. Here's what we're looking for. If you remember, Commissioner Brown had a deputy. His deputy was Chris Weissman most recently when he came from the state fair. We have had others that have had deputy commissioners. Most of them have come within the state. We'll see what Ms. Greenberg decides to do as commissioner, how to choose her deputy. It's her prerogative to pick somebody that that can help her achieve her mission and her goals as commissioner of ag. I would not count out that it could very easily be a Colorado ag producer, someone that actually understands agriculture, that can help her be her right arm on some of the things she wants to do.
The only thing I will point out about the current national search for a deputy ag commissioner, and in the past, former Colorado agriculture commissioners had extensive background in production agriculture and were natives of Colorado, whereas now that's not the case. So to find a deputy ag commissioner with that extensive background in production agriculture in the state of Colorado is very important, at least in my mind. How about the direction of the state legislature from where you see it in the Senate side? Is it going to be a pro or anti-agriculture if you look forward, or is it too early to tell?
It is too early to tell, I think. I am a little worried. We're hearing scuttle behind the scenes. There is about 4,000 appointments the governor makes to boards and commissions and cabinet members. And one of the questions that always seems to be popping up when people are being interviewed, will you vote the way the governor tells you to if it's an issue that's important to him? When those appointments come forward, it appears that the governor may have an agenda that on some aspects that he's going to want the board, when he calls in his chips and says, I need a no on this vote, or I need a yes on this vote, that's the way it's going to be. I don't know if that includes agriculture. I worry about having a Boulder-centric decision made with regard to how we utilize pesticides, how we utilize different genetics in seeds, and the direction we're going to go there. But I think it is too early to tell yet the direction this governor and the commissioner and deputy commissioner will go.
Yeah, and that's our big concern in agriculture. I know a lot of folks have approached me from the stock show time to the farm show and asked, will the agriculture commissioner and the deputy ag commissioner have agriculture's back if something's coming down the pike from either the state legislature or from an executive order by the governor that will impact agriculture in a negative way? I think that's a lot of people's concerns, Jerry.
I think it's my concern as well. I've had a number of conversations within the legislature, and the legislature wants to help protect agriculture. So if there is an agenda that comes up, I actually think that we will see the legislature be the backstop. At least that's what I am hearing from the conversations I've had with Representative Dylan Roberts and Senator Kerry Donovan, who are the chairs of the respective committees. They want to make sure agriculture does not get run over. So we'll see.
Once again, my guest, Coppino State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg. I want to move to your committee assignments that you have right now. Anything that you wanted to make mention of in that Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee as ranking member?
Probably not. They took energy. The Democrats decided to take energy out of the Agriculture, Natural Resources, Livestock Committee and put it over in transportation. So I don't anticipate a huge number of bills hitting the Agriculture Committee. That may be a good thing, honestly. We'll see what happens, but I don't anticipate a lot of things coming forward. Possibly a couple of water bills. We haven't seen many of those yet. Just the Republican River expansion of its boundaries bill, which is actually on the floor, I believe. Been passed in both chambers and is on its way to conference committee. So we haven't seen a lot of action there. My other committee is State Affairs, which happens to typically be a kill committee for the party and majority, no exception with the Democrats in charge as well, as if they want a bill to die, they make sure it goes to State Affairs, and I make the argument on why that bill should be alive, why it's a good bill. And interestingly enough, my latest resolution that allows Colorado voters to change, add another option to where to spend DOCO dollars or your lottery funds, that got sent to State Affairs as well, so rather than education. So we'll see what happens. But those are the two committees I'm now on, plus Capital Development, which meets Tuesday and Thursday mornings. It deals with the state asset.
Back to your transfer of GOCO money to the State Education Fund, kind of explain that just a little bit more in detail, if you would.
Absolutely. If people remember, when the lottery dollars were approved, they were approved to be used for open space and recreation. We have spent I do not remember the number, but in the billions of dollars on open space and recreation. And recreation sometimes includes playgrounds and parks, which will continue if my bill passes. It also includes walking trails, biking trails. It includes conservation easements, access easements. It also includes fee title purchase for government agencies to buy land from private landowners and put it into the public sector. What this bill will do is say, we can still do those things, but if the legislature needs money for education, we can also use it for education. Also understand that GOCO funds also currently, we can use that money for education now. It's part of the BEST program for capital education. What I want to do is give them the option to be able to use it in the classroom as well. Give it to the school districts, and the legislature will decide after the voters, if the voters approve this measure, and it has to be approved by the voters at a 55%. It is a constitutional change. If the voters approve that, then the legislature can decide, do we want to use part of this for education? Do we want to use all of it for education? Or do we want to continue to use all of it or part of it for parks and open space and recreation? My comment has been, how many outhouses at soccer fields do we need to continue to build? And should we change our priorities a bit? And is education a higher priority than recreation? And from my perspective, it is.
Sounds like a common sense approach. According to Complete Colorado, in 2018, GOCO received $66,250,998 in lottery proceeds. So depending upon how Senate President Leroy Garcia handles the resolution, if it does actually pass from the Senate Secretary's desk for the remainder of the session and move on to committee and get voted on, what would it take then? It would be on the 2020 ballot, right?
Actually, it would be on the 2020 ballot. And since Complete Colorado had done that story, that resolution has been assigned to the State Affairs Committee and not the Education Committee. So gotcha. It'll be heard when the chairman calls it up in State Affairs. And if it comes out of State Affairs, then it will go to the floor of the Senate. But it's appearing to me that the teachers union has weighed in again and does not want this bill to pass. And it should be noted that I ran something similar about 9 years ago to help with education funding, and at that time the teachers union killed that bill as well.
Any other Colorado legislative bills that agriculture should be paying attention to?
You know, I've got a bill in drafting that continues to be, I'm working with people on both sides of the aisle to restructure the way the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission works. Right now it's a commission that is appointed, and it's a volunteer commission that people that have real jobs and they have to go over and go through all of this permitting process. Right now, the law says that a permit has to be issued in a certain amount of time. I don't remember what that number is, but it's 30 or 45 days, something like that. Right now, those permits are 200 days out because we don't have enough people, the commissioners don't have enough time to go through all the applications. So what my bill does, and I've been working with both the environmental groups, the Democrats, I've been working with the oil and gas industry and the Republicans to say, look, let's step up, let's have a paid Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, full-time commission, kind of like our Public Utilities Commission. A number of other states have the same scenario. Let's have that type of commission in which these people, that's their job, is to make sure that that the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission runs smoothly and deals with all those issues that need to be dealt with. That's still in drafting, still working with stakeholders to figure out what that looks like.
Be interesting to see how that one turns out. Keep us posted on that, Senator. Another couple things that happened in the Senate that came up for vote, and some of them were just head-scratchers in my estimation. Senate Bill 42, the state Senate gave away our Electoral College. Any comments on that?
You know, I led the charge. There's a number of videos on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter of my speeches in which we have ceded all of our power to California and New York. It makes absolutely no sense. If you don't care how your vote counts in Colorado, then you would support doing away with Electoral College. If you care about having power and what our forefathers saw, potential urban areas running over rural areas, they designed an Electoral College to elect the one national election that we have, one election different than every other state election, by an Electoral College, so these small rural states don't get run over by metro states or large populated states like New York and California. And unfortunately, the Democrats are so angry over the last election that they have decided that Colorado doesn't matter anymore. We want Colorado to do the same thing as California and New York. I think there's some constitutional issues with it as well that will be challenged, but it is so frustrating to see how people do a knee-jerk reaction to an election that they lost. And we have President Trump, which just irritates them enough that they want to run bills to do everything they can to cede our votes to the more populated blue states.
Not just cede our votes, but also give back our money. They voted down the tax cut that the Republicans had presented in the Senate as well. And I'd love to visit with you more about that one, too, but I know we're limited on time. How many days left in this session, Jerry?
I think we're about a third of the way through, if I remember correctly. Maybe the truth is we got to be about day 40, so that'd be about a third of the way through. And I do want to touch base on that.
Okay,
tax cut.
Sure,
Sure. Tax cut was indeed my bill. It was one that the governor supported. It was the one the governor campaigned on. That he said we need a 3 to 5% income tax cut in Colorado to help us with the economy. That's good policy. So I ran a 3% cut from 4.63% to 4.49%, which is 3% cut income tax, just like the governor had suggested, and the spend tax and spend liberals that we have here at the Capitol said absolutely no way. And the Finance Committee, the chairman just flat out said, Tabor's the problem. We need more money in the state coffers to do all these things that we need to do. Guard your pocketbooks. Quite frankly, it is frustrating. The governor understands good economic policy, but these tax and spend liberals here obviously don't.
Yeah, we got 2/3 of the legislative days left, as you just mentioned, so it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out, especially when it comes to the taxes in the state. I know there are some huge upcoming events and issues that we needed to touch base on real quick, but I know our time's limited. Don't forget the Colorado Fruit and Vegetable Growers Association Conference is February 25th and 26th at the Renaissance Hotel in Denver. Also, right after that, the 27th, two events on the same day. During the day, it's the Governor's Ag Forum, hosted by the Colorado Agricultural Leadership Program, which I know you're a big part of. And then that evening, it's the Farm Credit Colorado Agricultural Hall of Fame, hosted by the Colorado FFA Foundation. And anything you want to say about any of those three events?
Obviously, that's a big week here in Colorado. I look forward to that week. I will be spending quite a bit of time at those different venues. Yes, as the president of the Colorado Ag Leadership Program, I'm proud of the class, the program they have put together this year for the Ag Forum. It's going to be a wonderful program. This is their departing program, as they will graduate the next day, and I will be there for that. And then also as part of that, the new CALP class 14, will start the day before the Ag Forum. And help with the Ag Forum, shadow on the Ag Forum, and learn, because they're the ones that are going to be stepping up to do the forum in the next year. It's going to be a wonderful week. I look forward to all the things happening, exciting things happening that last week of February.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention, it's 2 weeks away. Next week, I'll be in Holyoke for the Farming Evolution 2019 conference on the 20th and 21st. You can learn more about the CALP program by visiting coloagleaders.org. And if you want to get signed up for the Governor's Ag Forum on Colorado Agriculture at the Renaissance Hotel in Denver, February 27th, the complete agenda and the registration information is at governorsagforum.com. Real quick here before I let you go, Jerry, I wanted to get your thoughts about Coors having a national toast to American farmers coming up on Friday, February 15th. As they say, let's all raise a cold one to the hardworking American farmers. That upcoming national toast to farmers stems from a spat that started with a Bud Light Super Bowl commercial that blasted both Miller Lite and Coors Light for including corn syrup in their ingredients. However, corn syrup is used in the brewing process by Coors, and the ingredient doesn't end up in the final product. The company actually said Bud Light attacked hardworking American farmers who grow our great ingredients. And in a reported statement to Coors, they said the brand is standing up for our beers, our ingredients, and the farmers who grow them. Any thoughts on that?
You know, it's nice to be a part of a toast that recognized American agriculture. And the interesting thing about that discussion, it heightened the awareness of agriculture. So even if you picked one side or the other, and quite honestly, I never saw the ads. I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I have made a decision not to watch the National Football League for a number of reasons. And so I didn't watch Super Bowl. I didn't see the advertisement. But I have enjoyed the discussion because it truly has heightened the awareness elevated agriculture in the minds of people. And so it's a good discussion, and I look forward to that toast.
Just as a side note, the National Corn Growers Association had action team meetings in Denver recently, and Pete Coors joined the members, and the room went from a sullen approach before he got there to after he came in and told about the national toast honoring American farmers. it was they were overjoyed that Coors stepped up to do this national toast on February 15th. I know I got to let you run. Any final thoughts before I let you go, though?
You know, it's that time of year when farmers and ranchers, while everybody else is locked in the house in the snow day, staying warm, they're out babysitting animals. So remember your those people that are providing that food and fiber for you.
Thanks to Colorado State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg for joining me on the Colorado Ag News Network and Farmcast Radio here inside the barn. Very much appreciated as always, Senator.
Thank you, Brian.
Colorado Senator Jerry Sonnenberg represents the counties of Cheyenne, Elbert, Lincoln, Logan, Kit Carson, Morgan, Phillips, Sedgwick, Yuma, Washington, and Weld. You can follow Colorado State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, or by visiting his website at electsonnenberg.com.